Hello and welcome to the Taskmaster Podcast. My name is Ed Gamble. I am the host of the Taskmaster Podcast. And today we are doing a deep dive on episode 4 of series 1 of Taskmaster. If you're just joining us, we have gone back to the beginning with Taskmaster. The way we do things here is we take one episode and we talk about it in depth. We give it more attention than anybody ever should. That's the way we do things. You can't get us on that. We've gone back to the beginning of the series. We're on episode 4 of Taskmaster ever in series 1, and we will be proceeding through in chronological order with a brilliant guest every episode. Now, up until this point, all of our guests for the series 1 chat through have been people who've been involved in this series. We had Alex Horn. We've had two of the contestants from Taskmaster series 1. Today, not the case. Today, we have a brilliant, wonderful special guest in Nicola Coughlan. Nicola Coughlan, of course, a brilliant actor. You've seen her in Derry Girls. You've seen her in Bridgerton. And, most crucially, you have seen her in the Taskmaster New Year's Treat. It was a one-off episode. If you've not seen that, go back, watch it. We will be talking about that. It was Nicola, it was John Hannah, it was Rylan, it was Krishnaguru Murthy, and it was Shirley Ballas. And yes, that sounds like a motley crew, and it was, and they were brilliant. It worked. So go back, listen to that, go back and watch Series 1, Episode 4, come back, listen to this podcast. It's going to be a ball. We will see you on the other side. Welcome, Nicola, to the Taskmaster Podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's so exciting to have you here. Thank you very much for agreeing to come on.
My pleasure.
You are not only are you a fan of the show, I'm told, you're also a previous contestant in the New Year's special.
I was a one-offer. It was funny because it kind of, the offer came through at the time of like my biggest obsession with Taskmaster, because my mum, I can't get her to watch anything other than whatever's on ITV3. And I was like, look, there's this show, I think you might like it. Oh my God, I've just spotted your trophy behind you. That's really exciting.
Yes, that is where the trophy lives.
Whenever That's we amazing.
Have people on the podcast, it does look like I'm just sort of rubbing it in their faces by having it there, but that is
I wasn't even close, but look. but I started getting my mum to watch it and she absolutely loves it, and then the email came through and I was like, yes, and then when it finished it was so quick, I was really sad. I came home in the car from the studio and I was like, I feel really sad, oh yeah, because I've no more Taskmaster, I've done it. But it was it was brilliant.
A one-off, that must feel really difficult, because I felt pretty bummed out after 10 episodes, but you think 10 episodes is probably enough. Like, it's a lot of filming and, you know, you really go through it over 5 nights. But one episode, just enough to get a taste of how fun it is and then have it snatched away from you.
But it's like, it's funny because I say to people, sometimes you do shows that look really fun and you're like, yay. And then you get there, you're like, oh, it's okay, it's not. But Taskmaster is as fun as it looks like it is. It was just pure joy. And Alex Horn is like the world's nicest man. So when you spend the day doing the tasks. Also, I thought I'd done absolutely phenomenally incredible at all my tasks. I literally, my friend Camilla is a huge fan of the show. And she was like, how did you do? And I was like, spoiler, I did amazing. And I truly thought I did. So when I watched it back, I was like, okay. You have no concept, do you?
Exactly. It's always a mistake, I think, to think that you've done either very well or very badly. I think it's safer to think you've done badly and then you can only be surprised.
Yeah,
it's the old exam technique. You've got to assume you've done badly.
Yeah, pretty much.
that definitely came across in your episode, I think, as well, that you were so surprised that you hadn't beaten everyone in everything. Like the donut on the donut on the cactus.
I have issues about that. I'm not happy. I literally, on the day, right? So I ran out of the house and they had that sort of crystal maze dome thing. Yeah. And I saw the giant cactus and I was like, oh my God, like this is sent from God. This is perfect. So I brought it in and put it down. And then I just put, and the donut went, you know, it went through. And I said, Alex, can you confirm to me? Let me a gamma. Alex was like, yeah, it's through. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, can I do what I want? So I made a lovely fancy man. It was a tribute to Alex. And I sort of dressed him up in a suit. And I was like, that's class. And it was really massive.
So do you feel like you've been betrayed somewhat by Alex? Because he did he did clarify that your donut was through, the cactus was through the donut.
I feel betrayed that this is, yeah, I'm going to like start a rap beef with Alex. I have to learn to rap first. We're going to be like the Frankie and Eamon of 2021, me and Alex Warren, the rivalry. But yeah, no, it's
very
funny.
It's very generous of you, Nicola, to say that it's you who needs to learn how to rap to have a rap battle with Alex. I feel like he might have to do some prep work as well.
I think probably. But it was funny because I became one of those really bitter people online that people started sending me tweets like, you were robbed with the cactus. And I was like, yes, I was. And I was like, step away from Twitter. Yeah.
Did you feel, while you were filming in the studio, did you feel that, were you getting angry during the studio as well? Because my favourite quote of yours from that episode is, there's an awful lot of people talking shite in here today. I'll tell you that for free.
Well, it was like, the thing was, it was the first one. I thought that I had the most incredible prize to ask. Because when it was like, bring the best thing to a party. And the first thing was like, Twister, not Twister. Oh, someone's done Twister. Okay, already, ready. And then I was like, a stead body and alcohol. And I was like, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, wow, I can't believe I've thought of something so great.
I do agree with you, Nicola. I think you had the best prize.
Thank
task.
You.
I think if someone's walking through a door, the best thing to see is someone walking through a door with a skeleton on wheels holding a bottle of tequila. It's great. You've
never,
all
you
bases.
Don't expect it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the drinks trolley, absolutely lovely, and Shirley did a great presentation, but I think she was just so sassy and sensual. I had no chance, you know?
Yeah, she sold her stuff
she
very
well.
She
sold it so well, yeah.
If you'd shown the skeleton to Greg and then done a little shimmy, then maybe that would have.
I know,
that
I needed to be like,
table.
Chante, passe, la 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 la. But I didn't think of it. She was after me, so I was just screwed.
Would you have liked to have done a full series?
Yeah, do you know what? I really would have, actually. And then that's why I felt so gutted in the car when I left. I was like, why did I say yes to the one-off? But also I have like two shows that I have to film this year in the midst of COVID. So I don't know when that would ever happen. But also when I started doing badly, in my head, I was having so much like ongoing dialogue with myself being like, doesn't matter that you've done badly. It's better because if you won, you would never be able to come back. But maybe you will. I was like a little kid. I was like, I don't want to go. Don't let me go. I like it here. You people are so nice. Yeah.
It does. It really feels like that because the crew are so amazing.
So nice.
In the house. And they like... They text you. I don't know if you got this, Nicola. Maybe I got special treatment. They text you in the car on the way in to say, what would you like for breakfast this morning? And that just made me feel like I was going over to my family's house.
Oh, my God. Well, we filmed during COVID. There was like almost like an extra unofficial task in which they said, you know, would you like to pick what we have for lunch? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, just as a thing, everyone has to have the same. And they
handed
me
pressure.
Like, I was so stressed out. So I was sat there going, okay. Okay, and it was like Wagamama's, Pret, Nando's, or a sushi place. And then I went with Nando's. And then the crew for the rest of the day kept coming up and were like, thank you so much for picking Nando's. We were all really happy. And it was like the best feeling because like they're all so lovely. You're like, I don't want to let all these people down. I don't want to. Yeah.
Did they say anything like when Rylan came and he made us all have sushi?
No. The thing is, you can't but love Rylan.
Yeah,
and
true.
Also, we bonded over one. I love a gadget. I am pretty cool, Ed. I think you're gathering that quite quickly. But I love gadgets. And one of my favorite things ever is my robot Hoover.
Yeah.
And Rylan told me, like, he wasn't supposed to tell me what his thing was, but he told me right before we went on stage. And I was like, I love them so much. So also, like, even if I had, like, quibbles with what Rylan said, I couldn't say it because I just liked him too much.
Yeah, he is lovely.
Yeah.
The robot Hoover thing. I know, now, this is a diversion. Yes. Does it really work? Is it a strong enough Hoover?
I don't know if you want to get me started on this because it might just become the podcast about... Yes, it's amazing. It's when I got my first paycheck from Dairy Girls. It's what I bought my mum. And it just like goes around the house and they're really cute. You kind of become like weirdly attached to them. They've got this kind of anthropomorphic quality. Yeah. You're like, my little tiny cute little thing. Look at you picking up all the dirt. It's the best thing ever. Yes, definitely get one. Treat yourself.
But it obviously can't go upstairs. You need to help it up the stairs.
Yes. I live in like quite a small flat in London. Mm. And the stairs are like a communal area. So I'm like, they don't count. They don't need to get hoovered.
Yeah.
They're just like, they're no man's land. It's fine.
Yeah, that's all right. I think the day they invent one that can go upstairs, that's the end of the human race.
We're done by then. But I'll accept our robot overlords. It will be fine.
Okay, well, I think we should get into this episode. So this is
Series 1, Episode 4. Yes.
We're well into the swing of it now. So we've talked about your prize task. The prize task in this episode is most beautiful item. Again, yeah. I think I say this every week. This was back in the day where the prize tasks were pretty simple, pretty straightforward, most beautiful item. Do you have anything that you immediately thought I would have brought that in? That would be my thing.
I think so. I quite liked what Josh did, getting something commissioned, but with a magic eye you're doing a risk because a lot of people can't see them and I can't see them. So yeah. If I were Greg, I would immediately be annoyed. So I think I would get a portrait of Greg as the Venus de Milo.
Very nice.
Yeah. With Alex cherubs around.
Oh, that is beautiful. I was just about to say that's beautiful, and that's exactly what the task is. He'd look like he'd be a lovely Venus de Milo.
He would be beautiful, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he would. He would.
Yeah.
The magic eye thing was controversial. We had Josh on the podcast last week, and someone wrote in to say, was it really a magic eye of Greg? And Josh said, no, it was not a magic eye of Greg. I don't think you can find anyone to make magic eyes. So he shouldn't have got the points because it was all based on the fact that it was Greg in the magic eye.
No, I'm too gullible. I totally believed him. And I was like, he's gone to all that effort, the poor thing. So he's got that lovely, innocent little face that I'm like, okay, of course you did it, you little cutie pie.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He'd be a lovely cherub as well, wouldn't he?
He could be on.
To be fair, Josh had the week before got the tattoo. So I feel like he's putting enough effort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was just next level amazing.
Yeah. The magic eye was a nice idea, but the fact he didn't carry through with it means he shouldn't have got those points.
No, he shouldn't have got those points.
Frank Skinner brought in something that I would never, ever describe as beautiful. The Country Mouse themed vacuum cover. It was absolutely horrific. I don't know your feelings on that,
Nicola.
It
was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. I wrote down on a note, so scary. Where did he... I don't think he explained where he got it, did he? It was just like a horrible... And it was a huge, tall vacuum, like from back in the day.
It was disgusting. I don't know where... Now I've got this image of Frank Skinner just living in a weird museum in the middle of nowhere. Because he had grape scissors one week as his prize task.
Yeah.
And now he's brought in that vacuum cover. How does he have that to hand?
No, it was too haunted. I really hated it. I hated looking at it. I hated it knowing that it exists. Just so bad, the whole thing. Yeah, terrible.
You would have been scared as well, of course, because you're not used to seeing a Hoover that big.
This is true. All my Hoovers are automatic, tiny, cute little guys. And I'm like, what is this giant? No.
For me, that should have been bottom. I didn't like that at all. It creeped me out.
The fact that got 3 points is just... I don't know what to say about that.
No, it's unacceptable. Shocked. I feel like Greg might not necessarily be as invested in it now, but if I were to text him and say, why the hell did you give Frank Skinner 3 points for that vacuum cover? Me and Nicola are outraged.
We're absolutely disgusted. Get out, we're going to fight you. We're going to beat you up. I'll beat up one of his arms. That's about all I can handle. He's a very tall man.
Absolutely huge. And you know what? Yeah. I've known him for years and still every time I see him, it surprises me.
Yeah, it's like, it just is wow, isn't it? And my mum, it's funny because my mum said, and is that other little fella very tiny altogether? I said, Mom, he's not. He's like 6'1", probably Alex.
6'1", yeah.
But it just shows you, even when I met Alex, I went, oh, he's quite big, is he?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's just like, it's the power. I'm going to start introducing myself as like the Olympic skier, Nicola Coughlin, just because it will get into people's brains. And I'll be like, yes, yes, I am.
Well, that's it. That's how, it's the same technique. That's how Donald Trump became president. You just say the same thing over and over again and people eventually believe it.
Yeah, it's true.
Greg is the Trump of light entertainment television, and I'll stand
by that. I've always thought it. I guess someone said it.
Now, Roisin's cardigan.
Lovely.
We need to have a chat about this.
I liked it.
Okay, interesting. Because I think it's one of the most horrific cardigans I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, no, but Roisin is just, she's just such a delightful human.
True.
And it just was colourful and lovely, and I feel like... she was outnumbered by the men and they all told her it was horrible. But I mean, I feel like that would brighten up my day if someone walked into a room wearing that. No?
Do you think it is a gender divide then? Do you think women like that cardigan and men hate that cardigan? Because that when they asked the audience who likes the cardigan, women cheered. Then when they said who thinks the cardigan's horrible, all the men were like horrible jeering. Yeah.
I think 100% yes.
Yeah. Yeah. See, my instant thought was when she said people come up to me all the time and say that's a lovely cardigan. I feel like it's people coming up to her because they think she's brave for wearing it in public.
No, I don't know. I'm a cardigan fan. Justice for the cardigan.
Sure.
Sure.
I mean, we haven't actually secured Roisin for the podcast yet, and I have a feeling that just me saying that now means she's never going to come and do it. So, apologies, Roisin. Yeah.
Do you want to record an alternative where you're like, it's a great cardigan?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's get this now. What a lovely cardigan. 5 points from me. Love her to come on the podcast.
That's perfect.
Thank you. Ramesh went with a figurine of a mother and child. Now, this is the figurine version of the cardigan for me. I did not like that one bit.
No, it was really, it was like, do you remember the early 2000s? It was a really ugly phrase of like house decoration and just, it was just like a horrible, you know, you find it in the back of loads of other crap in a TK Maxx and you're like but I liked that Josh's response was you are not this person of all at all.
Because that's true. And the thing with Ramesh is he can't pretend to be anyone else, so even when he was talking about the figurine and talking about how beautiful it was and how much it meant to him, he did that horrible fake smile that he does that just gives me the creeps. Proper murderer's smile, hate it.
Greg called it a horrible piece of tat. That's the best description of it.
That is perfect.
It was just crap, wasn't it?
And I think Ramesh knew. It was crap. Yeah, he knew. Exactly, yeah. He knew. And I think if he'd sold it better, if he could have brought himself to actually, you know, put a bit of performance into it and sold it, I think it would have scored higher if he'd said, this reminds me of my wife and my first son being born. Whereas what he actually said was, that doesn't look anything like my wife. So... immediately removed himself from the emotion.
Yeah, he just sold himself down the river completely.
Yeah, exactly. Tim, now this obviously started a whole story. He went with the flight to Cologne to see the cathedral. And are you aware of the trip to Cologne they took?
No, I really want to know about it.
So yeah, at the end of the show, they organised a trip to Cologne based on the fact that Tim bought this prize task. In the end, it was just Frank, Tim and Josh who went. Ramesh didn't even go, and his name was on the ticket.
I know, so I was going to say. Oh my God.
I think it's a good prize task. It's one of those early ones where you feel like people have really invested a lot in that. They've actually really, really gone for it.
I loved it. I wrote down, amazing. It was so exciting. Yeah. And like Tim Key is one of the best ever contestants. He both puts in loads of effort and is very conniving. So it's a very thrilling combination. But I love, what a brilliant prize. Brilliant. Very deserving winner.
Did you watch Taskmaster, the first series, when it was on, or have you gone back and watched all of them since?
I've a bit of both, in that I didn't have Dave and my brother had it. So when I used to go down to my brother's house, he'd show it to me and he was like a huge fan, but he's one of those fans that like talks alongside. He's like, wait till you see what Tim Key does. Wait till you see what... la, 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 la. So I went back and watched them all during like lockdown, and I was like, this is the most joyful thing on television. This is the best thing ever.
So, task one, make this ice block disappear as fast as possible. You have 1 hour. Your time starts now. Great task, straight off the bat, I think.
Great task, because, you know, it's one of those ones that you can see and your brain will immediately start going, da, 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 what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I mean, it was just pure. It was, a lot of this was pure chaos. Ramesh, who went at the end, that was just flipping so chaotic.
See, I remember seeing this at the time, and I remember thinking, when Ramesh gets the salt out, I remember thinking, he is a genius.
So did
I. No one else has thought to do that. This is incredible. Surely he's going to win. And he did not win by a considerable margin.
Yeah. Also, like Frank putting ice in the oven.
Yeah.
Like, I have a thing that I don't know, but I'm always afraid they're going to break the device, like the actual things in the house.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what? I don't think you can put water in the oven like that, can you?
The thing
and he
is...
And his quote was, he said, I've never done ice in the oven. No one has, but ever, probably.
That's the thing. They encourage you to do as many different things as you can possibly think of, or think outside the box and use everything in the house. But there's obviously that point where if you are doing something like putting ice in the oven, or when Noel Fielding put a cake in the washing machine.
Oh, that was so stressful.
You know, they're obviously stood there going, well, you can do it and it's probably good TV, but this will cost us a considerable amount of money to fix.
Oh my God.
What would you have done, Nicola? Because obviously you said the brain's whirring as soon as you see that block of ice. Where does your brain go straight away?
I mean, yeah, I want to say I would have done something really, really different. But I think, yeah, putting in the bath, great shout, and lots of hot water. But I think you need to like really properly start breaking it. Mm. I think you just get all of the sharp and heavy things and just start smashing the crap out of it. I think, you know, if I Roisin just did it just water,
yeah,
that wasn't enough. I don't know. I just feel like I would have gotten really hurt doing that. I could just see me trying to carry a whole massive block of ice, just see health and safety hazard.
I think this is one of those tasks that has rewarded people who just do the route one most efficient thing.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's tasks where if you think outside the box and you do like an odd thing, you get rewarded for that. But here, every time anyone tried to do anything weird, so like Frank with the oven, Tim with the river, it was just, no, it's not going to work. You need to go route one, Josh Widdicombe basic bitch way.
Although I just thought of something.
Go on.
Dig a hole and bury it.
Yes. That's really good.
Yeah. And I feel like there's like a compost heap at the house. So, like, if you just knock a load of compost off it and just put it away, like...
Yeah, that's interesting. This actually brings me to a little controversy within this task, which I think you'll relate to, because I think this feels like the same situation as you had with the donut and the cactus.
Yep.
At the beginning of the task, Tim asks Alex for a definition of disappear. He says, what do you mean disappear?
Yeah.
And Alex says, well, so you can't see it anymore. And I think that does happen way earlier than Alex says when he puts it in the river. I think it's, you can't see it anymore, it's gone. And then they really punished him. They really punished him by saying it's still in the river, it's still melting. But if Alex can't see it...
But when Tim kept going, it's gone, mate. It's gone.
Yeah.
He was like, stop the clock, stop the clock.
I think Tim was secretly expecting to throw it in the river and it would immediately melt as soon as it hit the water.
I think 100% he was, yeah. Yeah.
Forgetting all the times he's had ice in his drink and it's just stayed there for ages. So the burying thing is interesting because it obviously would have disappeared quicker than Tim would have had it disappear just in the river. You wouldn't have been able to see it immediately. But then I guess by that logic, could you have just put a towel over it?
I don't know. It's a thing that you definitely would have to fight it out in the studio to like...
Yeah.
I feel like if I put it in a compost heap, I'd probably have to justify that. But I feel like if I dug a really good hole, then maybe.
Yeah.
But it's harder. Have you ever tried to dig a hole in the garden? It's actually much harder than you think it is.
I've not, Nicola, and it does worry me that you have.
It's only a few people I've killed. It's not that many. Come on. No, I put up my mum's birdhouse night to dig, and I was like, this is insanely hard.
Yeah, digging a hole in the lawn. I mean, yeah, shout out to all the serial killers out there. Well done. You put more effort in than...
They don't really get enough credit, and now's the time.
They don't get enough credit for the clearly very strong lower backs that they must have to be able to do that much digging. Well done. Fred and Rose, shout out. Get them on Taskmaster.
Taskmaster Serial Killers Edition.
I mean... It's not a bad idea.
It's not been done yet.
Another New Year's special, maybe?
I'm into it.
So obviously Tim went with throwing in the Thames, which was
loved it.
It's great. As a visual feast, it was pretty amazing, but not the best way of winning the task, I think.
No, I did feel for him because I feel like it was so clever. And I feel like that one, it is, you just know what you need to do. So the fact that he did something really weird, I appreciated that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel like when the task starts, you sort of lose your mind a little bit and you're like, you just do whatever you need to do to get it done? We did, because you film more tasks than they show. So we did one practice task in which there was this giant fish tank and there was oranges floating in it. And then there was all these like bowls on the side in which you could had to balance things on the bowls and whatever.
Oh,
and
wow.
I remember it was really tall and I'm quite small. So I was like trying to put my hand in the fish tank. And I was like, and then it was like when they blew the whistle at the end, I was like, I'm covered in water. There's water all over the floor. I had stabbed a knife through the oranges. And I was like, oh my God, it feels like you're on a trip. Like it's just,
yeah.
It's weird what happens to you.
Yeah, as soon as you open that task, you're right. It just you go into task mode, and it only ends when the whistle is blown. And it's almost as if you don't remember what you did in that moment.
No, you don't. Definitely not. Even they had to come into like, because I had to be sort of quarantined when I wasn't doing the tasks. And they came in, they were like, are you okay? And I just had water sort of all over my lap. And they were like, oh, okay. And they were like, do you want a hairdryer? And I said no, because I was too embarrassed to admit how badly I'd soaked myself.
No, so I'm always just, fine. I like being like this. It's fine.
It just keeps me awake. I love it.
Yeah. Frank's vibe when he was using the oven, he does look like he'd very calmly dispose of a body, I think. He was just way he had that in the, he had the ice in the bath and he was chipping away at it and then moving it to the oven. He was just very calmly sort of dismembering the ice.
Very methodical, yeah. He's done that before. He could have a spot on the serial killer special, potentially.
Yeah, welcome back. Frank Skinner, quite the revelation. That's how he's chosen to admit to his crimes, is by coming on this. The Ramesh salt thing was just a disaster. And it was the fact he was so proud of it as well at the time.
That's the happiest I think he was the whole series. He was just genuinely thrilled. And now I know the crushing disappointment of when you think you've done well and you go to the studio and you've absolutely just done a crap job. It's very upsetting.
Still see it?
I can't see it.
I can see it.
Stop the clock.
I can still see it.
What are you talking about?
It's just there. It's just bobbing down the river.
It's all mixed. It's part of the river.
So it's not disappeared?
It has.
But I can see it.
Where?
Just over there. I'm just going to have a little look.
You go and have a look as much as you like, mate. Stop the clock, though.
I can see it.
It's gone, mate.
And now it's time to hear from our BFF bonus fact finder, Alex Horn.
Whoopsie, hello, it's me, Alex Horn, your BFF bonus fact finder. And today your fact is all about the ice task, one of my favourites, for two reasons. First, because it looked so beautiful in the sunlight, and second, because I knew Tim Key was going to throw it in the river, and then Tim Key threw it in the river, and I was pleased with myself. The fact, though, is all about the American version of the show. Yes, we did the show in America once, and this was one of the tasks that we repeated over there. Interestingly, one of the main differences between the two shows was that over there, we had a swimming pool because it was LA and it was always hot. And many of the comedians did throw the ice into the swimming pool, like Mr. Tim Key. The three men in the show also smashed it with spades and hammers because they were manly. The ladies, on the other hand, Kate Berlant and Lisa Lampanelli, well, they covered it with blankets and rugs and they won the task because, according to that show, they made it disappear. Sometimes simple is best. One other thing, for readers, I need to tell you this. The answer is espadrille. The answer is espadrille. Okay then, thanks for listening. Thanks for reading. Goodbye.
So, task two, get to 11 points as fast as possible. Your time starts now. Yeah, there's not a lot of tasks like this on the show. This is a rare sort of task. And it's one of my favourites ever, I think.
It's brilliant. And because I think it would drive me absolutely demented. How do you think you would find it?
I would go mad. Absolutely mad.
Flipping mental.
I'd be running around. I'd be just trying out everything possible. They basically picked the thing to get points. The touching head is the one thing that no one notices that they're doing.
100%. We're both doing it right now.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. I mean, we've got 11 points straight away. It's great to watch. It's so fun to watch people utterly confused trying things out at random, but to be actually doing it, I think I'd go bonkers.
But also, I feel so bad for, like, it was Roisin and Josh and Ramesh, because they weren't even told what it was that got them the points.
Yeah.
Which would be the worst thing, because even those couple of minutes of you watching the task not knowing is so frustrating.
Totally.
And you're like, surely I'll figure it out. And then you're like, no, I won't. But also the fact that all the men got really mad immediately. And like, who kicked the bucket? Tim kicked a bucket at the wall. And Ramesh and Josh all kicked stuff.
Yeah, it's a good experiment to prove things that we knew already, i.e. if given the opportunity, men will kick something as hard as they can against the wall. Yeah, it really had that experiment sort of feel. It was like watching monkeys in a lab.
Yeah. I feel like I want them to do more stuff like that, even though it is mildly, like, brain melty. I really loved it.
Yeah, I think it's quite good that they haven't, because I guess if you'd seen the show before and they did one of those every series, the contestants would be a bit like, I can sort of see what's going on here. I think they did a similar one in series 6, where it was like they had like evidence on the wall with like string going across, and they had to solve that. And then the points came from hopping. You had to hop on one foot.
Yeah. And didn't Lisa Tarbuck like get it? And then the people she was with were like, no, it was like two. I can't remember exactly. It was on her team.
But yeah.
She
no got one it, was like, listening for... to her.
Yeah.
She got it and then gave up trying to tell them and just did it and won it for them. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. And also, get proper nerdy, there's a version of this task in the New Zealand Taskmaster as well that's just been...
Oh, no way!
It's the most Kiwi version of this task, where they get points for complimenting each other.
I absolutely love
lovely.
That.
It's really good.
Oh.
The fact that they had no idea afterwards, that they had to wait, because it's probably a few months from when they filmed that task to when they were doing the studio, that they had to wait. That would keep me up at night.
That would be torturous. Even not knowing for me what was on the other side of the wall that we had to do the model on, I was like, and what is it on the day? And they were like, you have to wait till the studio. And I went, what? What do you mean I have to wait? I can't, like, you almost want to push the wall down and be like, who are you? What are you? That would drive me mad.
Well, Rylan nearly did. He was screaming, asking the guy questions right up until the end. Just going, what colour's your hat?
He was calling the guy Scene. Scene, lie down. It was amazing.
Could you have taken the wall down? Did it say you weren't allowed to mess with the wall?
Oh, gosh, what did it say? I think you could only put your hands through, as far as I know. But Rylan was trying to like break a hole through it and make another hole. And but I don't think I should have gotten like a sympathy. But there was a couple of tasks in which I was at a disadvantage because of how small I am.
Yeah,
the one with the fish tank that you didn't see, the one with the scales which I couldn't reach, and then I couldn't reach Scene's pole.
Yeah, that's most of the tasks.
Most of the tasks. I did once ask for a point just because I was short, and Greg didn't give me one, which is unfortunate. Yeah,
you know, he can't. I mean, he literally and metaphorically can't see from your perspective.
No.
He's not going to understand the troubles of a short person.
I feel like if Greg and I met in like the 1700s, we'd be in a travelling show together. Little and large. I don't know what our act would be, but maybe it's just us walking out the stage and going, look at this, it's mad, isn't it?
I don't think you need an act. I think back then, the act would have been, look how tall this person is and look how short this person is. And you just walk out and everyone points and then you walk off again and go to the next town.
We would have been millionaires.
It'd be amazing. It'd be great.
And there could now, be a market for that now, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think there will be after COVID's gone, you know, and all the theatres are back up and running. They need shows that can just be ready like that.
Hammers with Apollo, me and Greg walk out on stage, bow, everyone goes fucking mad.
I think for the Apollo, maybe you'd need to like add some stuff to the act, like maybe have something on a high shelf and then you try and get it and then he comes in and gets it for you.
That's a good one. We also probably need a medium guy just for like reference. So are you up for that?
Yeah, I'll be the control.
Ed Gamble, average height man. I don't know, how tall are you?
I'm 6'1", so that,
oh, you're
that
a
was...
bit tall.
Mm. Well, I do want to be involved though.
Would you cut your hair? Take a little bit off?
Yeah, I'll shave the top of my head off, so I'm down to 6 foot then.
Yeah, I think we would love, Greg and I would love you to be involved.
Okay, great. Thank you. Greg's on board already, right?
Greg's really excited about it. There's a lot of buzz.
Now, we've got to now talk about the additional Josh tasks, because this is so the famous good. Episode where Josh has to count beans, spaghetti hoops and rice, and he is the only person who has to do it. And this obviously established a long tradition in Taskmaster of making one person do something that no one else has to do.
It's one of the best things about Taskmaster. It's so good. I love it so much. And I had forgotten that the last one was rice. And yeah. I like rewatched it and audibly gasped. And it's just so bad. But like, he's just so kind of calm about it. I just feel like he just should have. I'm glad that he got a point for it, because I would have been really heartbroken. Yeah. But he was like, "You're my special little boy." Like, it was so funny.
It is amazing. But I'm glad they're sparing with it as well, because I think they've stopped doing it every series. Because I think James Acaster said, and I was the same, when we were doing the show, every single task we were doing, we were constantly thinking, is this just me doing it?
Oh, really?
And it really makes you paranoid. It's like, this is exactly the sort of thing they're going to screw me over by making me do this.
It was Rylan. They had Rylan in our one. He had yes. to do, he had a great idea.
Yeah.
But he never actually said what the idea was. He just go, I've had a great idea. And then not expand on it.
So with that one as well, because also Josh was quite kind of proud of how he'd done as well. So with the rice, you know, he was weighing the rice out. He was working out the sums, and he was like, yeah, I've done really well here. And it's that thing he says at the end of the rice where he says, you think I'm a loser? You're the real loser for having to watch this five times in a row.
I know.
It's perfect. How would you have how would you have reacted to having to do something like that, Nicola?
Rage. No, I don't know. Yeah, I think I would have been sort of livid. Especially the rice, the fucking rice, come on. Yeah. But also he didn't even ask for gloves or anything with the beans. He just got right in there with his little hands. I kind of felt like, I don't have any children. I was like, I felt like watching my son. I was like, oh, the poor little fella.
It's a shame that this podcast isn't visual in any way, because Nicola just did an impression of Josh that was the most squirrel-like thing I've ever seen in my life.
He was very squirrely when he was doing it, though.
Very squirrely.
And he had his little tray, and he was just like got tomato sauce all over his hands. And like, you can ask for things. You could ask for rubber gloves. They won't say no. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. Just, he didn't want to inconvenience anyone. He just had a job to do and he just sat down and did it. Oh, bless him.
How, in the first episode where I'm actually winning, do I feel the saddest I've ever felt?
Maybe you should be thinking that the glass is half full and that you're one of my special little boys.
So, task three is fill an egg cup with as many tears as possible.
Yes.
You have 20 minutes. So it's another filling an egg cup based thing.
Yep.
Which is interesting that it's another motif in Taskmaster is eggs and egg cups. It's been there since the very beginning. This, I believe, Alex told us that he told a few people who were taking part in the series about this task as a way of getting them on board for the show. But by the time they came to do it, they'd all forgotten about it.
I mean, I like the way Josh also was very nonsensical about it. Just literally cut an onion straight away and rubbed it into his eye. Just no thought, like...
It commitment.
How would you have done it?
I think... Now, I've had a very long time to think about this.
Yes.
I think I would have gone route one, probably, in the moment. I would have grabbed onions. I would have, whilst doing the onions, thought about something sad. I would have done as many different things as possible.
Yeah.
Yawning, just to try and get the tears out. But thinking about it, here's how I would have tried to get around it in a really annoying way, Nicola.
Okay.
All the tasks are written down. You don't hear them out loud from anyone else apart from yourself.
Yes.
So tears is spelt the same as tears.
Oh.
So could you have got loads of bits of paper, torn them a little bit, and then packed as many into the egg cup as possible?
Maybe. That would be very thrilling if you were, but then I feel like if you have to read it out loud.
Yes.
And I feel like if you said tears, then Alex might, I was going to say rip you a new one, which is the least likely thing that Alex Horn is ever going to do. But, I like that.
Maybe they would have claimed, because I think reading it out loud, I would have said tears first of all.
Yeah.
So maybe that then locks it in as tears.
Yeah, maybe.
But it might be worth a go.
Oh, now, that's good.
You're an actor, though. Can you cry on cue?
I mean, if I meant, like, I had to do a lot of crying in Bridgerton. But, like, that's, like, you know, go through your acting process and all that stuff. So, but for this, I wouldn't do it. I would just go pure technical. Vicks Vapor Rub right all over your face.
Good
a bright
tip.
Light in your eye. And the windblower.
Yes.
All three at once.
Are they things that you would utilize on set as well? Or would you...
No.
You wouldn't go and get the leaf blower and the Vicks Vapor Rub. I've got
you're
a
like
crying
some scene. Poor PA. Did you just blow Nicola's face? You're like, yeah, no problem. Unfortunately, no, I don't. But they do have a thing called Tear Stick, which is like Vicks Vapor Rub that people can put under your eyes. I had to look like I was in Dairy Girls, I'd been awake all through the night drinking caffeine, and they put it on me so my eyes would look a little bit bloodshot. But and it's a bit like Vicks, so that's why I'm like Vicks Vapor Rub just all over the face.
No, I think Vicks Vapor Rub's a really good shout. And because obviously that feels more like a sort of thing you'd do if you're acting. Like, obviously, they're not getting an onion. They're not doing a Ramesh, just pouring hot sauce directly onto your eyeballs.
That stressed me out so badly. He rubbed so much hot sauce into his eyeballs. I'm like, you still have to live after this. You still have to have vision after this show. You need to... If I was his mum, I would be fuming at him.
That's how his eyes got like that. It was the hot sauce.
Oh, my God.
Not a lot of people know that. If you notice him in the first three episodes, perfectly normal eyes. Anyway, Ramesh, come on the podcast. Sorry. I think I would have ended up doing something really dumb like that because I would have been so happy to be there. It's lovely to get booked for television work. I'm going to put my all into this and perhaps damage my health.
I mean, but then he went back for a second one. He like rubbed it between his fingers and rubbed it into his eyelashes. He like, the fact that he didn't, like, I felt sick for him that he didn't win that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I was like, I can't believe you could have lost your sight.
There's something terrifying about Ramesh because he throws himself into those tasks so hard, but he's so unenthusiastic as a man and in the studio. He's not like, come on, I've got to win this, but he's like, yeah, all right, whatever. But then he's got that within him to do something so horrifying as to rub hot sauce into his eyes.
It's like he's like a guy from a war film that you don't think he's going to do anything, and he's like the kamikaze guy or something, and you're just like, holy shit, where did that come out of? Did not see that coming. I was just, oh my Christ. Oh, one of the funniest things ever is... Roisin watching Steel Magnolias and then just enjoying it.
Yeah.
Instead of getting upset.
She gives up very quickly on the crying. She just gets sucked into watching Steel Magnolias.
She has a nice time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Timmy wanting the full Monty.
The full Monty, the E.T. audition, and then asked for Powerful Art.
Yeah.
And that picture, I still don't know what that art piece is, the bull farting the man into the wall, but I'd love to see it in person one day.
Who did that? And it like, it's not cheap looking, and it looks like it's in a gallery.
Oh yeah, that's it.
It's probably we're just complete Philistines and have no idea, and people are like, you don't know the bull fart at MoMA? Like, no I don't. Oh dear.
I mean, where is that now? That must be in a permanent installation. No one's bought that. You're not going in and seeing a little red sticker on it because someone's going to take it home.
Oh, my God. So good. And then
very,
Frank
very
singing Old Shep.
Old Shep. Very good to utilise the crew, though. I think that was a really good call because it doesn't say it has to be your tears.
Yeah.
But singing Old Shep, I mean, maybe he missed the sort of age range of the crew a little bit there.
That's the first time I had ever heard of it.
Yeah, I think, and unless you really know it's about a dying dog, I don't think it's going to upset you. I think you may as well just talk about a dog dying rather than singing Old Shep.
Yeah, probably.
Because I don't know about you, if I'm having onions, like smelling onions or rubbing onions in my eyes, I can't focus on the lyrical content of an old Elvis song. It's one or the other. So Frank won that. I think it was, he got 12 tears, and I think that was using the crew was very much the key there.
Yeah.
Ramesh got 4 points. You're right. It's devastating.
Well, it's devastating.
Isn't it? That he lost by two tears, and he'd rubbed half a bottle of hot sauce into his eyes.
Because even at the very end, there was one streaming down his face that he didn't get.
Yeah, he could have just scooped up that last one.
No.
Over hills and meadows we'd stray, Just a boy and his dog, we were both full of fun. We grew up together that way.
Frank?
Definitely
one. Oh, brilliant. That's the first tier so far. Was it the onion or was it old Shep?
The studio task is memorise the names of an Australian rules football team, most accurate wins. I don't know about you, Nicola. When I watch things back now that were pre-COVID, every time I see more than three people in a studio, I go, oh my God. This was a nightmare for my anxieties.
Yeah.
My pandemic anxieties.
Get away from each other. What are you doing? Yeah.
But a really fun studio task that everyone did terribly at.
Well, I felt like it was really difficult for, like, easier for the people who are first and last, because they always say that's where your memory is best within lists, and it's anything in the middle is like gloop. That's the proper psychological
term yes.
for
gloop,
it.
Yep.
But like they all did pretty much the same, which was weird. But I like some of the names that they made up, like Wank Plank, Snoop Dogg, and Mr. Naughty Boy. They were good.
With old, I think he was called the Yank Tank, wasn't he?
Yank Tank, yeah.
I think Josh got Yank Bank. I don't know how you get to Yank Bank and don't realise it's Yank Tank.
I don't know either, because that was the one. Did you try and do it? Because I tried to do it when I was watching, and I was like, okay, that's like that one would sticks in your head because it sounds a bit rude, so you kind of remember it.
Exactly, yeah.
But also when they said it, because I have a thing for remembering people's names when I meet them. So it's like, if I met you for the first time, I'd be like, just think of another Ed, which I currently can't. So it's a really bad example. There's literally never been anyone called Ed in the world before. Is it like Ed was the guy on Married with Children? That's a weird one. Or the horse, Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed, right. Okay, got it. So you've got, so you meet me, you think of a horse.
Yes.
Yes,
so
right.
So when we meet you again, a horse will come into my head and be like, oh, Ed. But so I was like, oh, I would do great at this hypothetically, because I would just think, but I don't know anyone called Wank Tank or Yank Tank. Sorry, Yank Tank.
This is Dina.
Yeah.
Yank Tank. And this is Mr. Naughty Boy.
So everyone gets one name right, which was quite nice. But Josh wins the episode and gets an extra point for counting the beans, the spaghetti hoops and the rice.
That was like a beautiful like coming of age film when like, you know, the dad shows up to the baseball game. Like it was gave me that same emotion when he got that point and then he won the episode. It felt like vindication.
Yeah,
I was like,
exactly.
My son, I'm so proud. It was beautiful.
But also he wins the series by a point. The whole series he wins by a point.
Oh my God.
It was by a point. And a lot of people are talking about it being the beans point, which is, you know, quite controversial because no one else got an opportunity to count the beans. So,
Oh my God. But there's something quite beautiful in that as well. He really is the special little boy.
You can't tell me if Ballas had won based on a beans point, you would have been angry about that, right?
But yeah, Ballas had her sexy dance moves that I could never compete with, so I just had to realise I was going to be the loser in the middle. Really great.
Gosh, she'd count those beans with rhythm, wouldn't she?
Oh my God. She's just a walking innuendo, that woman. She did. I was like, I could come up with, if you gave me 10 years, I couldn't come up with that many innuendos. It was incredible. She was just bang, 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 bang.
See, even then, you've said bang, 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 bang and decided to not make anything of it. Ballas
would have
been all
over
that.
And then I
said
she was just bashing them out. That's another one. Maybe I am better than I thought. Oh, God, Shirley, what have you done to me?
Yeah, but there was no shimmy. You didn't shimmy. You didn't give it any glitz or glamour.
No, I know.
Okay, we've got some emails, Nicola, from listeners to the podcast.
Okay.
This is from Joe. A question for Nicola. Out of her and her brilliant co-stars from Derry Girls, who does she think would win a full series of Taskmaster?
Oh, well, based on the fact that we did Crystal Maze once, the five of us, and we were interviewed before and they were like, who do you think is going to be shit? And we all said Dylan. And then they told him that when we were filming. We were like, no, he didn't, but we did. And then he did way better than the rest of us, like beyond better than the rest of us. So yeah, probably Dylan. He's proved himself now.
You underestimated him. That's what happens when you underestimate people. They come screaming
through.
This is a great question. This is from Almuth in Leipzig in Germany. Hi, Nicola. Since there weren't any team tasks in the New Year's treats, with whom would you have liked to have been paired up with in terms of efficiency and chaos? Great question.
I mean, my well-documented love of Rylan, of course, him. He was great. He was so funny, and I feel like we could have come up with some good things together. And the tall, small, magical combination,
again,
would be great. Yeah.
Well, especially if some of the tasks that you did have to do, if you and Rylan were doing them together, you could have tackled them way better, right? You could
have absolutely.
Got on his shoulders and felt the lollipop pole. There were loads of stuff you could have done.
Yeah, it would have been perfect.
Do you think that would have been the best team for points? Or do you think one of the others might have been better in terms of points?
Oh, who do I think? I feel like Shirley, she had her own ideas of how to do things.
Yeah.
As did the other two. Whereas I feel like Rylan and I would work together quite well.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. Krishnan might have needed someone there just to explain to him what Taskmaster was and what he'd signed up for.
But I feel like I would boss Krishnan around too much. I would just be like, make him do stuff. And I don't know. Yeah. He's such a nice man.
He is lovely. He's always good for like an astonishing anecdote as well.
Yeah.
So you could have got on with the tasks and then just maybe said to Krishnan, tell us about the time you interviewed the Dalai Lama. this is from Ruby. How would Penelope Featherington have dealt with the Taskmaster challenges you dealt with? Would she have sworn on TV?
Oh, Penelope wouldn't have sworn on television. No, Penelope is quite clever and conniving in her own way and keeps everything. I think she would, you'd sort of think she was doing nothing, and then by the end it would be like a ta-da, look, it's perfect, I've done it. And you'd be like, what? And she'd be like, I'll never reveal my secrets. Yeah. Something like that, maybe.
Yeah. If you've not watched Bridgerton, that's a spoiler that she's conniving,
yes.
I guess, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hi, Ed and Nicola. My question is, Nicola, who is your favourite contestant and what is your favourite season of Taskmaster? If you had to choose anyone from past seasons, this is from Georgia.
Oh, okay. I had to write down a list of my favourites because there's been so many people. Oh, it's really hard. I'm reading my list. I mean, can I just say a few people?
You can say a few people. Okay. Of course you can, yeah.
As I said, I like people with sort of chaotic energy on the show and that will do weird stuff. So Tim Key and Joe Wilkinson were big ones.
Yeah.
Because they just did a bunch of really weird stuff. And also, like, when Tim Key tries to cheat, it's very fun to watch.
Yeah, totally.
Mel and Noel, I loved their season as well. Mel's just adorable on it. She's just so sweet. And then Noel, you can see how competitive he is. But he's not like overly competitive, you know, he's not like, but you see that he really wants to win.
He plays it cool though, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. In this season with James Acaster and Kerry Godleyman and Rod Gilbert,
yeah,
was just great.
Yeah.
Just that's, so good.
In terms of the chaotic people that you enjoy, that is basically a season of them. They're all chaotic.
That one, and you and Katie Wicks, that was great too.
Thank you.
And then the most recent season.
Ages until you mentioned me there.
No, I was working through chronologically.
I like, get it out of the way quickly and then I can just enjoy the rest of the list. Thank God.
Sorry. I thought the latest season was brilliant. I loved Daisy and Johnny and I love Mawan. He's so funny and like I would love to do anything with Mawan. I just think he's brilliant.
Yes,
but
he's amazing.
Just Daisy's just the funniest person ever, isn't she? She's just so funny.
She really is. She really is. I think that, I think it's good to have a list of a type of contestant you like because they're so good at casting people that it's very difficult to pick one person that you've enjoyed from across 10 seasons of it, I think.
Yeah, because they're all quite different as well. And Shan Gibson, I loved her too.
Yeah, she was
great. She was so cute. And there's lots. Bob Mortimer. So many people. It's hard to pick a favourite.
In her question, Georgia also says, if you had to choose one person from past seasons to do a team task with, who would it be?
Ooh. I feel like maybe Mawan, actually. I feel like Mawan and I would be on the same wavelength.
Yeah, you'd be a great team, I think.
I think so, yeah. I like Mawan
a lot.
He'd
be fun to do tasks with as well, I think.
He's fun and he's creative and he thinks outside the box. And yeah, I think he'd be fun to do stuff with.
Done. We're going to make it happen.
Yes.
this is it. Put it out there in the universe. You and Mulan can go and do tasks together at some point. Nicola, thank you so much for coming onto the Taskmaster podcast. We always ask our guests to rate their experience on the Taskmaster podcast between 1 and 5 points. So how many points would you give it?
I'm going to give it 5, and I'm going to give one extra point because we're both very special.
Yes. Because we're so special.
We get a special Josh Bean point, me and you.
That's great. That'll really bring up the average from some of the guests who've decided to give it less than 5 points because they thought it was funny or mean. Paul Chowdhury, I think someone else might have given it 4 just to put me in my place. So we're bringing up the average with the 6 points because we get a special Beans point, and that is allowed this episode.
Yay.
Thank you so much for coming on, Nicola.
Thank you so much.
Well, there we have it. What a fun episode that was. Thank you so much to Nicola for coming in. What a brilliant chat. Hopefully we can convince Nicola to come on a future episode as well when we get deeper into the Taskmaster series, because she knows her stuff. Those people are hard to find. We need to get Scroobius Pip back on. We need to get Nicola back on. We need to get the proper nerds back on. No offence, Pip or Nicola, I don't think you'd take that as an insult. But for now, thank you very much for listening. We've got so much more to talk about. Do email taskmasterpodcast@gmail.com with questions for my guest and myself. I will announce the next guest on Twitter in the next few days. But for now, keep watching Taskmaster on all four. Go back, catch up on the episodes. Keep watching the YouTube channel. Keep sending in the questions. And we will see you next week for another episode of the Taskmaster Podcast. Goodbye.
People are talking an awful lot of shite today, I'll tell you that for free. Jeez Louise.